in place.
You know, it was a great night for the organization. You know, so proud of the players and appreciative of their efforts and them buying into the plan. The assistant coaches did a great job, and after all we've been through, for us to be able to go out there in that environment against that defense to come out on top was something very gratifying and very happy for those guys.
Tony, what is it like as a coordinator not calling a play? Obviously you have input with Ben and whatnot, but you know, in the times leading up to Sunday night when you haven't been doing it, what is that like? Do you find yourself wanting to, and are you more in a rhythm when you're calling it?
Well, you know, the goal first and foremost is always to win.
Yeah.
And whatever the responsibility that I have, whether it's to call the plays or to assist Ben in his calling the plays, is what I want to do the best of my ability. And when I'm not calling them, then it really is more a matter of listening to what's being said in terms of what he's calling, and then getting some feedback from Eli, assessing what's happening with my own eyes, talking to the other coaches, communicating with the other coaches, communicating with the players, you know, kind of the what ifs and suggestions about what we could do next, and so on and so forth. But it, you know, you're involved. It's definitely, like you said, a different perspective from the standpoint of a rhythm, because you know ultimately, what is sent in is what's sent in, and you just do the best you can to, like I said, to support that play call.
As a follow, I mean, obviously you've done this before. It's not like Sunday was the first time. But was there any added adrenaline Sunday night, you know, knowing all week that you were going to be jumping back in?
You know what? The preparation is something that we talk to our players about, how you trust your training and you zero in on everything that is going to be required to be ready for the game. And, you know, I think whether it's our players or from a coaching standpoint, the more you can do the same thing over and over and study and prepare, and certainly any game, regardless of what I think a coach's role is, there's adrenaline, there's excitement. I mean, we're very fortunate and blessed to be able to do this. But once the game starts, it's in that zone and just kind of zeroed in and not really getting caught up in anything other than that call and then what the potential next call could be.
How much did you and Ben communicate and sort of go back and forth, shooting ideas maybe? When you're not calling the plays, I mean, the ball's on the defense, how much did you?
There was a few times. You know, he was excellent throughout the week, very supportive, and certainly on game day as well. And there were occasions, you know, just in terms of him giving some feedback and a suggestion here or there. But you know, he was very, very good in terms of, you know, very positive, as I mentioned. And, you know, we just were able to do everything like we typically would do in terms of trying to get the information from Eli and to Eli and then to the backs or then to the offensive line, and just kind of go through and bounce ideas off everybody's head in terms of what's the next best approach for the next series.
When you went into the game, was the plan to run, or would you say the run's working, let's ride it?
Every game is different. I know you've heard that 1,000 times, but I think we always have to look at who we're playing, the level of talent that we're going up against, the scheme, and then where we are from both of those perspectives. And I think given the circumstances of last week, where we were with all the injuries, with so many new guys, and quite frankly, to try to do something that sometimes you want to stay away from a team's strengths. Other times, maybe you can catch them off guard by attacking their strengths. And I think the guys, as I said early on, you know, they credit to those players for, despite all of the adversity and all of the disappointment and frustration, buying in and knowing early on, hey, we're going to grind this thing out, and it's not going to be pretty. You know, it's going to be second and nine. It's going to be second and ten. And, you know, joked a little bit about on the one hand of having that game being on the road actually might have been a good thing, so that you're not showered down with the boos after a second and 10 or a second and 11, because we were going to be patient. And that was just a mindset of just trying to grind them down, do something that they weren't necessarily expecting, hadn't necessarily prepared for. And, again, just couldn't be more proud of all of the players for going out there and being persistent for four quarters.
That 47-yard run by Docker, it's been a while since you guys popped one like that. What was it on that play that you think allowed you to do so?
Well, it was very good execution up front. It was actually a play that we have in various personnel groupings, and they gave us a look that was advantageous, and just the techniques, the aiming points, Eric Flowers, DJ Fluker, Brett Jones, JJ, Justin, the whole crew, Rhett was the tight end, I believe, and then Orleans hit it with great discipline. Sometimes there are things that aiming points or where we want the back to hit, and it might not look great. And some guys, they start looking up ahead, and they get impatient or they get skittish. He hit it hard. Eli did a good job, as he always does, in terms of directing things and the operation, putting us in the best play and directing the play to the best look. And I think it all came together in that particular play, and we're very, very fortunate in that regard. You know, I think DJ's a guy that the physicality that we had seen in previous games was definitely on display that night. I mean, he's a guy that just brings a lot of energy. I mean, he's a fun guy to be around, and he loves the football, and you know, his strengths are going to be his strength and his size, and you know, the more we can try to do the things that are going to accentuate that, I think that's going to put him in a good position. But you know, like so many of the players, the thing you like about DJ is that when it doesn't necessarily go right, when things, you know, maybe he misses a block or maybe he doesn't redirect well enough on a pass protection or whatever the case may be, or maybe we as an offense don't do well, you know, he's one of the guys that you always see there on the sideline that's constantly trying to lift everybody's spirits and be encouraging and be positive. And so, you know, his energy, as I mentioned, as well as his size and strength are things that make us better.
Why did you take Sunday night, Fluker had a couple plays that you said, wow. Mm-hmm. If a receiver does that, we talk about the energy mm-hmm. on a team, mm-hmm. but can that play by an offensive lineman energize the line? It's such a devastating play sometimes.
Absolutely, Kim. I think especially when you look at one of the particular – there was the two big blocks that he had on inside plays. That one was the 47-yarder that you mentioned. Another one was really just a 3 or 4 yard gain, but it was just such a devastating block that, you know, everyone sees on the sideline, some of the defensive guys see, and you look at in the film room afterwards, and it does bring about just a sense of pride in the unit and just guys feeling confident, more confident, I should say, in one another. And there is that spark. You mentioned that in terms of certainly it's something you tend to think about in terms of an explosive play. And don't get me wrong, we'd love to have those, and those would be great, and those will bring some energy too. But, you know, when you talk about wanting to be tough-minded and tough physically and have that type of a mentality that shows up from a physical standpoint, that is something that can help you out, and it certainly helped us last night or a few nights ago.
47-yard run, and I believe the one back when you were backed up on the one that late when mm-hmm. Orleans got you guys out of the hole. And on other several other plays, he was lined up a lot closer to Eli rather than seven paces back or so. Was that a scheme thing?
Well, we try to vary that quite a bit, you know, and that's something, you know, that it's important for us to make sure, depending upon, as you'd imagine, there's certain, if it's pass plays, we want to make sure we have them at a certain depth. Well, then if you only do that for pass plays, you're tipping your hand. If you only have them at a certain depth, you know, that tips your hand. So we try to vary that depending upon what the scheme is, and then have a pass play off of that so that we're not too predictable.
It seemed it kind of burst him through the hole pretty quick on those couple of plays. It just seemed like, maybe it was just the blocking, but it just seemed like that.
The guys did a great job up front, I mean, on that particular play you're talking about. And that was, when we talk about, you know, critical plays in the game, you know, to be, our defense had just done an outstanding job stopping them down there, and that's the noisy part of that stadium. It's all noisy, but that's an especially noisy part. And we used you know, some cadence down there and see if we could maybe get them to jump off sides, and they didn't quite jump off sides, but they did get a little bit off balance. And again, if they can be a little bit off balance and we're able to fire off on the ball, that's going to be an advantage for us. So the three inside guys did a great job on that particular play you're talking about.
You seem to run maybe – obviously, these plays are probably in your playbook already, but you seem to run more traps, maybe more outside zone than you had in the past. How much were you maybe able to open up the playbook for the run playbook a little bit larger?
I think it just, as I mentioned earlier, based upon what the opponent does schematically and based upon who they have in specific spots, that's going to really drive the train with regard to maybe, as you mentioned, an outside zone play being more effective for us. You know, we have good multiplicity in the playbook, both run and pass, but there's going to be certain games for a wide variety of factors we talked about where one's going to be featured more than the other.
It doesn't have to do more, though, with you guys maybe running in more form, in like out of certain formations, where you ran a lot more two tight ends and that kind of stuff more. Is that also playing? If I think I'm following you,
certainly when you have different personnel groupings, whether body types, you know, I think what we're talking about is if there's more tight ends or if there's more receivers, I think in any offense, all throughout the league and even at the collegiate level, there's going to be certain runs that are going to be more effective and you're going to kind of hang your hat on more so based upon that. That'd be an accurate statement.
Brett Jones, two games now at center. Mm-hmm. What do you think, is particularly the run game? Because your run game's kind of taken off since he's been in there.
Yeah. Well, Brett Jones is someone that, you know, we're very, very pleased with that is on our team. He's a hard worker. I always love getting a Brett Jones question, you know, because the guy just, all he does is work his butt off, and he's very smart. He's a team-first guy. His players, his teammates respect him immensely. And, you know, there is that, you know, Kim asked about as far as DJ Fluker's big block. You know, he's another guy. He doesn't have necessarily a lot of the eye-opening blocks that people will see up on TV, you know, watching on TV or up in the stands. But, you know, he has an ability just to be very persistent and stay on guys, and particularly if he's blocking back. He's done a good job with that because, you know, he's got good technique and he's strong and he's tough. So that helps us.